I want to talk to you about the heroic dead, but I'm going to talk to you about a man that I believe God raised up for a time like this, for people just like you and me. This man who was declared righteous by God and considered blameless by the people and who walked with God. God raised up Noah so that people like you and me can be strengthened in our faith. Here's the operative question here today. If that is true, and it certainly is, what are some of the marks of this heroic faith of Noah? What marks him? What separates him out? What was it about Noah that makes him so unique? What does it mean to me? The
Encouraging Word. That unique voice you've been listening to is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word broadcast. And today we begin a two-part series on the heroic dead. What does it mean? Well, we'll discover that together in just a few moments. But as we begin, we want you to know that we're here for you. Already, we're connecting online at theencouragingword.org. It's a long URL, but simple when you think about it, theencouragingword.org, or this very special phone number. Right now, you can call 866-899-WORD to have one speak with you, pray with you, connect you with great resources. That's 866-899-9673. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. We'd love to connect with you 24 hours a day. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. You're going to find it in your pew Bible. There's one provided for you. It has a red cover. It's found on page 1068. 1068. If you'd like to turn there with me, we're in Hebrews and chapter 11. We're going to be looking at just one verse this morning. And our subject is the heroic dead. I wonder if you have a hero in your life. There are many heroes in our lives. I can think of a lot of modern day heroes, basketball players. Man, I look at people that are heroes to us, like Michael Jordan. I've often wondered what it must be like to be like Michael Jordan. Be like Mike. Can you imagine? Folks, I've tried to dunk the ball, slam dunk it, but I need a step ladder to do it every time. It just doesn't seem to work. But you know, we think about a lot of our heroes. Heroes that have gone on before us. Do you know that God has raised up from the beginning of time men and women who stand out as heroes of the faith? Maybe for you today, your hero is your grandmother, your grandfather, or your father, mother. Maybe a brother or sister, a best friend is your hero. I had someone say to me not too long ago, a man talking about his grandmother who many years ago went to be with the Lord Jesus. And he said to me, "Pastor, my grandmother will always be my hero. She prayed for me and she loved me. And I believe that a lot of what I am today is because of the faith of my grandmother," he said. Well, one of the greatest heroes of the faith is a man by the name of Noah. Now, we've all heard about Noah, haven't we? When I was in vacation Bible school and growing up as a boy, we used to love to sing those songs. Noah built the ark. Noah did. We even called him Brother Noah, I think. We gave him all kinds of special designations, but I've always loved the story about Noah. Here's this man living in this exceedingly wicked world, and right in the middle of that, he builds this big boat in the middle of nowhere, and a flood comes, and all kinds of catastrophic things happen, and God is involved right in the middle of it, and Noah and his family are saved, and they don't drown like the rest of the people. I want to speak to you this morning about the heroic dead. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I'm going to read just one verse. The Bible says that by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by means of faith. Now, I'm not going to read it this morning, but you do need to keep your fingers in Genesis chapter 6. So you might want to turn over to Genesis chapter 6, because in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, the Bible tells us the remarkable story about Noah, about this man who built the ark, and why he did it, and what happened when he did it. It's a remarkable story. It's a great story. It's challenging. It leaves us exasperated and wondering concerning the things of God. But I'm going to say to you that if we're going to understand Noah, we're going to understand the heroic dead because of their faith. I think we can begin by saying that there were three distinctives concerning the faith of Noah. Number one, the first distinctive was that Noah was declared righteous by God. Now, that's what the Bible says here in chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says he was a righteous man. And the New Testament tells us that his righteousness was a declaration made by God. By the way, righteousness, you can use the word right. You see that word righteous, boys and girls? Big word there, but just take the first part of it, right. It means that you are right by God. All right? You're not wrong by God. You are right by God. In other words, God is pleased with you. You are pleasing God. You are in line with what God expects of you. And the Bible says that Noah was declared righteous by God. All right? There was a second thing about Noah that's remarkable. Not only was he declared righteous by God, but he was considered blameless by the people. Now, that's kind of an interesting word there, because if someone were to tell me I'm blameless, those who know me would stand up and say that it's not possible, Don Wilton. You couldn't be blameless if you tried. You see, the word there, blameless, actually means that what Noah was regarded by the people was that he was regarded as a person who walked in favor with God. He was found righteous by God. It wasn't just a matter that God declared him to be righteous. The people all agreed with it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a person today, a mom or a dad? Can you imagine being in a world today? It's one thing to say that I know the Lord and the Lord knows me, but it's another entire thing to know that everybody around me would agree with that. Because we see all the bumps and the blotches of our life, don't we? We see us as we really are. Well, Noah was not only declared righteous by God, but he was considered blameless by the people. And the third distinctive of his faith was that he was found walking with God. That's what the word says, he walked with God. By the way, that little word walk there is tremendous. It's a wonderful word. The only time I don't like the word walk, watch me, boys and girls, is when that old referee does this. What does that mean? Traveling, you got it. Hey, that's something I don't want to do when I play basketball, which I don't do a whole lot of, excepting when I'm around my sons and my daughter, because they teach me how to play it. They say to me, Dad, you walk all the time. See, I don't watch all the rules and regulations. Now, he's not talking about walking in which you're going to be called a penalty. On what he is saying here is that Noah was found in the company of God's presence continually. He had fellowship with him. Isn't that amazing? And so if you were to bring that together, what you would conclude was that Noah's faith was not only absolute, but it was unhesitating and it was persistent. He never gave it up. What an incredible man. That's why I want to talk to you about a real hero. Oh, a dead hero. I want to talk to you about the heroic dead, but I'm going to talk to you about a man that I believe God raised up for a time like this, for people just like you and me. This man who was declared righteous by God and considered blameless by the people and who walked with God. God raised up Noah so that people like you and me can be strengthened in our faith. Here's the operative question here today. If that is true, and it certainly is, what are some of the marks of this heroic faith of Noah? What marks him? What separates him out? What was it about Noah that makes him so unique? What does it mean to me?
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment. But before we start looking for gopher wood to build that ark, Know this. Dr. Don insists I interrupt to let you know we're here for you. We're taking your calls right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we not only do that during the broadcast, but we're connecting 24 hours a day. If you need, we would like to be your 2 a.m. friend. It's an important part of what we believe the body of Christ is called to be available for each other. And we're here always, 866-899-9673. And if you'd prefer, we can connect keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. So many folks are asking about the promises of praying for others, a cool way to revolutionize your prayer life here in this new year. The details are online at theencouragingword.org. Now let's dive back into today's message, The Heroic Dead, with Dr. Don Wilton.
We want to look at five marks of his heroic faith. We want to ask the Lord to try and speak to our own hearts. Number one, the first mark was the warning he heard. The warning he heard. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse that I read to you just a moment ago, the Bible says that God warned Noah about things he hadn't even seen. Can you hear about faith there? What is faith? Faith means that we believe what God says even though we cannot see it. Faith means that I may not necessarily understand God, but I'm willing to take him at his word. I trust him. That's what faith is. Bible says that the first hallmark of Noah's faith that made him a faith hero was about the warning that he heard. Well, what warning did he hear? There were four warnings that the Bible tells us in Genesis and in Hebrews that he heard. Number one, concerning God's judgment on sin. That was a warning, folks. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. What a warning. I've often wondered why it was that God gave that warning, and he gave it to this man that was going to become a hero in the faith. It was a warning, folks. It wasn't a suggestion he was making. God was warning Noah concerning the matter of God's attitude towards sin. And God hasn't changed his mind. Folks, we've got people all over America today who are calling convocations. There are church denominations that are meeting. There are conventions being held. There are church meetings being held. And many times there are meetings being held by people who claim to know Jesus Christ who are saying, let's talk about this sin. And we're going to vote whether or not it should be regarded as sin anymore. If God said it's sin because God said it's sin. God has spoken in times past. And this was the warning he gave to Noah. But there's a second warning that he gave him. It was concerning the building of a boat. Now have a look at verse 14 with me. He said, so make yourself an ark. By the way, an ark is just an ark way of saying boat. Real archaic. Now, folks, let me tell you something interesting. Do you know that historians tell us that in all likelihood, Noah had no idea what a boat was? He had no need for a boat. If you were to say to me, Pastor, do you know what a boat is? Man, I can tell you about boats because I love boats. I love to go fishing. I love to be in boats, all shapes and sizes. I even like to sit in canoes and go down rivers and streams and kayaks and go out deep sea fishing and ride on big boats. I love boats. I have no problem talking about boats, but Noah didn't know anything about boats. And folks, let me just tell you something. When God told Noah to build a boat, he wasn't making a suggestion to him either. He was warning him. Why was he warning him? Why was he giving him an ultimatum? He was saying, Noah, build this boat. I'll tell you why. Because the boat is the method that God has chosen to save people like you and me from the judgment that he warned Noah about. Now, I'm just going to make something here today. I want you to listen. I want you to know how I know that one day when I die, or if Jesus were to come, how do I know that my sins are forgiven? How do I know that I'm going to heaven one day? Can I tell you how I know? Because I'm in the boat. Are you listening? And some of you hold on to that, folks, because it's going to become clear in just a moment. Without the boat, you cannot be saved. You're going to suffer the judgment that comes upon everybody who's not in the boat. All right, there was a third warning, and it was concerning the sending of rain. The Bible tells us that. I want to just tell you what else. In all probability, Noah had never heard of rain. Hard for us to imagine on a day like this. He'd never heard of rain. He didn't know what rain was, let alone a flood. Well, what was the rain, folks? The rain was the judgment of God. And by the way, the sending of rain was not a suggestion that God was considering. It was an ultimatum concerning what God was going to do. He warned Noah concerning the coming rain. He said, it's coming. I'm going to judge sin. You need to build a boat. There's going to be a lot of rain. And number four, concerning the covenant that he would make between himself and the descendants of Noah. Verse 18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark all these creatures. And so we get all the description of what took place. God wasn't making a suggestion concerning his covenant with mankind. He was warning Noah concerning the covenant that he will make with those who get into the boat. Now, what was the mark of this man's faith? First of all, it was to be found in the warning he heard. Second of all, the fear that he experienced. That's the second mark. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, look what it says there in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear. I'll be honest with you, folks. When I read about the holy fear of Noah, do you know what I think of? I can see him just standing there cringing like this, turning his way, his face, and just cringing and shaking from head to toe. Like when you're real scared. Well, folks, that's not what God is saying here. In fact, if you go back into the Greek text there, you're going to find that the Greek word actually means pious care. It more better reads, he responded in reverence. That's a sense of awe. And that word there, reverence, carries with it three dimensions. Number one, it means great concern. It means that his concern was so great because he was listening to the voice of God. It not only means great concern, it means great respect. That he had just the profoundest, deepest respect because God was speaking. It also means great devotion. So here you have these three dimensions of the response of Noah that contributed toward him becoming a true hero of the faith. It was the manner with which he responded. He had this incredible fear, this great respect and concern and devotion for the one who was speaking to him. You see, my friends, the manner with which Noah responded to God was an indication of his understanding of God. His faith was a faith response. Though not seeing, he believed. That's what the word says in Hebrews there. He was warned about things that he could not see. Yet though he could not see these things, he believed. Folks, he couldn't see God's judgment. He couldn't understand the boat. He didn't know what rain was. He couldn't understand this business of God making a covenant with him. Abraham had not even showed up on the scene yet. And yet he responded in awe, reverence, and fear. Stood in the presence of God. Number three, the third mark of this hero's faith can be found in the work that he did. Not just in the warning that he heard and in the fear that he experienced, but in the work that he did. By the way, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we must not just hear the word of God, we must do it. It's not good enough just to listen to it. Do you know that there's a great possibility that there are many people today listening to this message, worshiping with us, that God will speak to you. You will hear about it, but you won't do anything about it. This time next week, you'll go back into church and you'll be exactly the same because you don't do anything about it. Well, there were two things that he did. There were two jobs that he went about. The work that he did was twofold. Number one, he built the ark. You say, boy, Pastor, now I know you're a genius. I mean, you worked that out that he built. Yep, he built the ark. Now, friends, let me tell you something. Building this ark was a terrific task. It was unbelievable. The Bible gives us all the dimensions, several football fields long, about 15 stories high. I mean, it was massive. It was gigantic. Well, can you imagine holding all those elephants and giraffes and all the other things that boarded on that boat? I mean, it was a massive undertaking, let alone the eight people that were going to board the boat. God gave him specifics with regarding the building. But the situation is this, folks, that Noah did what God told him to do. He built the ark. Now, why? Anyone know what pitch is? Not a baseball pitch, or even better, a cricket pitch in England. No, pitch is like a waterproof stuff. Now, I don't know what it looked like back in Noah's time. It must have been awfully sorry. I don't even think Pickens Roofing would have used the stuff today. But back then, pitch was whatever it was. God gave them pitch. They made this mixture, and it was waterproof. Now, what was pitch designed to do? Pitch, boys and girls, was put on the outside of the boat and on the inside of the boat, and it had one purpose. It was designed to prevent the water coming into the boat. Now, when all those people with Mr. Noah were in that boat and water was able to get into that boat, what would have happened to that boat? You tell me. Someone tell me. Yes, sir. Sink, just like that. How many of you would have thought that it would sink? Hold your hands up. Just boom, like that. Down it goes. Sink. If water gets in the boat, boom, it's over. Down you go. Tip over, down. Sink. And if the boat sank, guess what would have happened to all the people in the boat? They would have drowned, folks. They would have drowned just like all the people outside the boat who were suffering the judgment of God.
Forgive the interruption. Dr. Don has so much more. Matter of fact, he's got a special message just for you coming up in just a moment. But as we begin to wrap up this particular edition of The Encouraging Word, already we've had friends, a record number of friends, that have been asking about the promises of praying for others. It's a remarkable, unique tool, I would say, that helps us take something we've hopefully been doing for a good long time and deepen and broaden the impact of our prayer. Here, Cheryl, with all the details about how you can get a copy of this very special tool from Dr. Wilton, call The Promises of Praying for Others.
Revolutionize your prayer life in 2019 with Pastor Don Wilton. In his powerful, uplifting, and faith-building message, The Promises of Praying for Others, you will come to understand the wonderful gift of prayer in your life and learn to delight in the privilege of approaching God's throne on behalf of others. The Promises of Praying for Others can be yours on CD or DVD to enjoy and share with family members and friends for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word this month. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304. Or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. Your generosity will be a tremendous blessing to the Encouraging Word Ministry as we continue full speed ahead in 2019, bringing hope and changing lives through God's encouraging word.
It's a wonderful resource, and I pray you'll get your copy. 866-899-WORD is the way to connect, first and foremost for prayer, but also to get your copy of The Promises of Praying for Others. You know, as we share the teaching of Dr. Don Wilton from the pulpit of our church and the opportunity to hear him as he is being led as a preacher, I pray right now you would take just a moment and listen to Dr. Don, not as a preacher, not as a teacher, but as someone who has spent his life sharing the truth that has changed him from the inside out. It's the truth of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's changed me. It's changed him. It'll change you. Here are our closing thoughts from Dr. Wilton today.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me?
and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world. And we hear from many, many of them. And we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes. And I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our time's wrapping up for the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. But tomorrow we continue in this special heroic dead concept. And we'll talk about that. We'll study that. But between now and then, let me suggest that you do something that will be something we can just drop as a pleasant surprise in your email box. It's a word, an encouraging word from Dr. Don Wilton. Every single morning, I get it in my email box about 6 o'clock in the morning Eastern, and you can too. It's the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. You can sign up right now on our website at theencouragingword.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's DAILY to 30500. We'll send you back a quick link. You can sign up, and every single day, you'll receive that encouragement from Dr. Don. So until tomorrow, have a blessed day.